Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of In the Ring with Acacia Clunt. So happy to have you joining me today as we just wrapped up the March to Your Old in Training sale at OBS. And there were some fireworks over there for sure. So we're going to be focusing heavily on recapping what happened over at the March to Your Old sale on today's show. And then it's kind of that season now. Plenty of two-year-old sales coming up as everybody's getting ready to find the fast ones that hopefully can debut with the likes of Saratoga, Del Mar, get into some of those exciting two-year-old graded stakes towards the end of the summer, and then dreaming about the big races for next year. We haven't even reached the Kentucky Derby of 2024 with this crop of three-year-olds, and we're already thinking about what could happen in next year's three-year-old group. But that's just the nature of the game. So looking forward to recapping a bit of what happened at the March sale on today's show. And then, of course, leading up to it, we'll have the OBS April sale as well. And then you have the Phasic Tipton Timonium sale in May. So plenty coming up as far as the sales action over the next couple of months, as well as a lot happening with the three-year-old preps and seeing who will make it into the starting gate of the Kentucky Derby. So with that, we'll get right into today's show. I'm so happy to welcome in David O'Farrell from Ocala Stud, who consigned the sales topper at the recent OBS March sale. Dave, thanks so much for taking the time. Happy to have you on today.
Thanks for having me, Acacia.
As I mentioned, Ocala Stud consigning the sale topper, the win-win-win filly at OBS March just recently. She went for $1.8 million and was obviously a standout after the Breeze Show. Can you talk a little bit about her and just maybe when she really started to kind of show her hand to you all at the beginning?
She caught our eye really about, you know, 6 weeks ago at the farm. We don't do a whole lot of breezing prior to these sales, just a lot of galloping, a lot of foundation work. And when we started to breeze her, she was a cut above the rest. She trained beautifully on the farm, and we had high expectations for her when we went over to the sale, and it carried over. It's a different ball game sometimes when you ship into the sale, different environment, different racetrack, different surface, different surroundings. And she handled everything beautifully, and she's just a special filly.
When she breezed 20-1, very fast, very impressive work there going a quarter. Can you talk a little bit about the decision to not work an eighth and to go a little bit longer? And she obviously dazzled in that work as well.
Our program is designed to breeze quarters. We've never breezed a horse an eighth of a mile at a two-year-old in training sale. It's just we try to stick to one program. And not overthink things. And it's, my family's been doing the two-year-old sales for a very long time. Matter of fact, my grandfather held the first two-year-old sale there was at Hylia Park in 1958. He sold 17 two-year-olds in a tent, convinced the track owner to allow him to do it. And the next year he recruited a couple others to go with them. And that's how it kind of evolved. It was gimmicky at the time because he was selling horses that he had to prove could outrun their pedigree. And so that's kind of been our program ever since. We breed for the two-year-old market, and we breeze everything a quarter of a mile, and you know, it's been good to us.
Win-win-win, a stallion, a new stallion that is standing in Florida at Ocala Stud, and he seemed obviously to be very well received at the sale. What have you noticed so far from his offspring, and how maybe the public has been receptive to the ones that have gone through sales rings so far?
He's a really exciting prospect for us. He was such a good racehorse, very versatile, fast, but could carry a speed, a distance of ground. You know, has a wonderful pedigree, has three classic winners up close in his pedigree, with his grandsire being Sunday Silence and first two dam sires being Smarty Jones and Unbridled. But he was very quick on his feet. He was one of those that could go 7/8 and 20 and 120 and 4/5, setting a track record at Tampa. But could also carry his speed. He also won on the turf at Belmont Park, going a mile in a minute 31 1/5, I believe, tick off the track record of Oscar performance. So he's super versatile. And what we've seen is horses with a ton of athleticism, big hind ends, big Gaskin, very smart horses, very eager to train, just really exciting horses.
I will never forget that four-go win from him at Saratoga with the rain, and then the rainbow coming out in the winner's circle as he walked in to get the photo taken afterwards, and such an impressive performance that day as well. But obviously, with a new stallion and this filly being a Florida bred as well, and being able to consign the sale topper, how exciting and validating is that for a stallion that you've chosen to support in the state of Florida?
It's tremendous to get him off to a good start like this. I mean, obviously it has to translate over to the racetrack, but it's super exciting and gives you a lot of optimism going forward. It's huge for us here in Florida. You know, sometimes we have to think outside the box to recruit some of these stallions. It's so competitive to get some of the top prospects, and you know, so we have very good partners in this horse, and he's very well supported with a good group of mares within the ownership. And you know, I think he's getting a little bit of momentum with his book since the sale, and I think he's going to end up with a really nice book this year as well.
Ocala Stud also consigned several that were part of the Lothenbach dispersal. Of course, the horses that just galloped at the sale. Tell me a little bit about the honor, I guess, and privilege of being able to sell horses from that dispersal. Such good families, such good horses coming out. And I know that many were really eager to take a look at those horses that were part of that dispersal.
It really was incredible. I mean, Mr. Lothenbach had a wonderful program, had a lot of good horses, a lot of well-bred horses, and it speaks volumes to the amount of traffic that we saw at the barns. I mean, we were flat out busy all day, every day, showing horses. And you know, I think everybody on the grounds looked at those dispersal horses, and they sold extremely well, I thought. They were well prepared, albeit they weren't ready to breeze. But Chad Stewart, you know, it never was the goal to have them ready for these 2-year-old sales. But he did a terrific job. The ones that we consigned, all 11, they arrived to us in great shape. They settled in. They were well mannered. It was a seamless transition, and all the credit goes to Chad.
I wanted to go back to some of the stallions at Ocala Stud as well. Of course, we talked about win, 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 but some very interesting and exciting new stallions as well. I think for anybody that watched Florida Racing, of course, will have seen Colonel Liam on the track. And can you just give a little bit of a rundown of what you're expecting with especially some of the newer stallions? But then, of course, you have the tried and true, like the Adios Charlie and Awesome Slew group in there as well.
Yeah, we have a little variety for anyone. You know, Colonel Liam was such a good racehorse. You know, he won 3 Grade 1s on the turf, but one of the interesting things about him is his pedigrees by Liam's Map out of a Bernardini mare. So he really has the you've got to believe that he could get some dirt runners as well. And he was such a good 2-year-old, even though he didn't run as a 2-year-old at the races. He did top the OBS April sale in 20 and after breezing a quarter in 20 and 4/5 seconds. Just a beautiful animal, very, very smart, and he's producing some really good looking babies. Liam's Map is doing terrific right now as a sire. Bernardini is one of the leading broodmare sires that's up and coming, and I think Colonel Liam has a tremendous shot to be a very good stallion.
What are some of the things that we can look forward to for the April sale as far as the Ocala Stud consignment?
Well, a little variety again. Looking forward to taking our new group over there. We have a few more win win wins to offer up, and a little bit of everything. I'm excited about our group. The April sale is kind of our bread and butter sale. It's the biggest 2-year-old sale in the world, and it's become the marquee 2-year-old sale.
You touched on a little bit with your family's history in the sales and in the sport in general. And I think that there is such a respect that goes with the Ocala Stud name, particularly when coming to look at horses at the 2-year-old sales. How important is that to your team and being able to bank on some of those big relationships that have been created throughout generations?
Well, it's huge. You know, our program, we try not to do too many different things, and a big part of our business is repeat business, whether it's clients that have horses with us on the farm or clients that buy our horses at the sales. It's, you know, a lot of what we do is we try to you know, keep that business and cultivate it. And we've been very fortunate that people have supported our horses and our program for many years. We just feel very blessed.
If I'm not mistaken, I saw too that Ocala Stud was the oldest active thoroughbred operation in Florida, which is just incredible too, especially given just the history there and then how much Ocala is growing as well. I know it's a family operation. How has that come into the day to day? And was it always something that you knew that you wanted to be a part of as well?
Yeah, I grew up always wanting to be in the business. It was never pushed on me, but when I went away to college, I even gravitated towards it more. I mean, I loved working with the horses in the summers on the farm, and I love the racing aspect of it as well. But when I went away to school, that's when I really felt, compelled to come back, and it's all I could think about and all I wanted to do. I was following the horses closer than my dad was, who was running the farm at the time. And so it's been great. My brother, he came back and he works on the farm as well. He's more of the inside guy and I'm more of the outside guy, and we make a perfect team. And all three of us work really well together with my dad. So it's been terrific, and it's really rewarding.
What are some of the moments maybe over the years that you're most proud of what the operation has accomplished, or maybe what graduates have gone on to do?
Well, we went about in 2012, we had a terrific run where we produced 6 graded stakes winners in 1 year. Wow. Out of a small broodmare band of about 35. We were named Toba's National Breeder of the Year. I think the largest stud fee of any of those graded stakes winners was 12.5. So they were mostly by our own stallions. And it was just a terrific run, and I don't know that we'll ever compete with that again. It was unreal. And we've just been fortunate to have some good horses come through the program. Two years in a row now, we've produced the 2-year-old champion in Forte, and now Fierceness for Mike Rapoli and Forte with St. Elias in partnership as well. So it's been an incredible run, and our training mentality doesn't differentiate a whole lot between the 2-year-old sales and most of our training clientele that race. There's not a whole lot of difference other than a couple weeks leading up to the sale when you're at the sales grounds.
In prepping horses like Forte and Fierceness, obviously Breeders' Cup winners have gone on to be champions as well. What is the process like on your end with getting these horses to go prepared to go to the races? Because obviously it will be a little bit different in prepping horses, perhaps that are homebreds, like the example of Fierceness, versus those that are going to the sales.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot difference. Our April horses right now, they're going to be asked to breeze a little bit, but a lot of these horses that are identified to be early 2-year-olds for our clients, like the Mike Rapolis and St. Eliases of the world, the ones that are identified to be 2-year-olds are really on that schedule as well. And you're not looking for a specific time from their breeze, but you are getting them fit. It is middle of March, and some of these horses have enough foundation. They've been in training for over 6 months, some of them close to 8 months now. And they're getting very fit and they're kind of encouraged to go on because that's what they, you got to keep the horses interested as well. They're getting fit and they're ready for it. They're ready to get ready for the races.
You're very involved in the industry as a whole with being part of the Thoroughbred Owner and Breeders Association Graded Stakes Committee. Can you talk a little bit about that and why it's so important for you to be a spokesperson for the sport and to be so involved in those kinds of committees?
Well, the thoroughbred business is my family's livelihood. Mm-hmm. It's all we know. It's what we were born into this. We don't have a secondary business. This is what we do. We're passionate about it. It's a family business, and we want to see it carry forward, and we want to do what's best for the business and to see the sport grow and improve. And we want to see it stick around for a really long time. So I'm gladly got involved and just trying to make any difference any way I can.
I've gotten a chance to talk quite a bit with Everett Dobson, fellow member of the Greatest Stakes Committee, and it just I'm of the opinion that that is definitely one of the most thankless jobs within the industry, and a very tough one to do. That no matter what the decision, will always be met with some backlash as far as downgrading or upgrading graded stakes throughout. But can you elaborate a little bit on being involved in that committee? Because I know that there's so much work that goes through several years into this decisions that are made as far as whether a graded stake should be downgraded, upgraded, or stay the same.
Yeah, it's tricky. Sometimes, you know, you have to find balance and you have to look at the big picture. You can't always, you know, most of these decisions are black and white. You know, you look at so much data, you know, it's there. Some of the decisions are pretty easy once you see it. Once you see it in front of you and you see all the data that's compiled to make these decisions. And, but you also have to look at the big picture sometimes, and you have to be fair and equitable to many different racing jurisdictions that may have a handicap, you know, like California, for example. They don't have gaming to support, to subsidize some of their purses. So you have to look at them a little bit differently than Kentucky, for instance. Who has the wherewithal to produce big purses that are subsidized by historical horse racing machines. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just have to try to do what's right for each jurisdiction and try to do the best that you can and be fair and keep a balance of good graded stakes throughout the country and you know, give opportunities where they're warranted.
Mm-hmm. I think, like so many individuals within this game, as you mentioned, a family business, and it's not just a profession, but it really is a full, all-encompassing way of life. When those of us who elect to work with horses and choose this as our career, it really is so much more than that. And I think maybe sometimes people outside don't necessarily realize how all-encompassing it truly is.
Yeah, no question. It's definitely not a 9-to-5er. It's it's 24 hours a day. There's always something going on, you know, whether it's equipment or horses or employees. There's always something going on the farm, and you know, it never stops.
A terrific history, as we've talked about with Ocala Stud. What are some of the things that you would hope would be in the future of the operation with maybe the sales or prepping or the stallions? What are some of the goals that you would hope to see come to pass for Ocala Stud?
Well, always hoping for that successful stallion that can mm-hmm. really carry the torch. You know, stallions are such a big part of a farm like ours. You know, it's, we have so many exciting ones that we're just getting started with, but, you know, having a successful stallion is tremendous for our operation. And, so we have a couple good chances that we're really excited about, but that would be number one. Mm-hmm. But just having balance, you know, you always have to keep upgrading your broodmare band. So you're always looking to improve in little areas to try to, you know, improve the program, but it's tough. So you have to, you know, you have to have balance, but you always have to keep moving forward.
What are some of the things that you look for in a stallion that you think might make it and might be successful? You touched on a little bit how in Florida can be a little bit trickier sometimes to potentially market those stallions and to get those top quality mares.
Yeah, it's tough. We have to think outside the box. We can't always go for the Sons of Indomischief or Tappet or so on and so forth. So we have to, you know, find race horses that were extremely talented, but they might be by a nondescript sire. And we've had a lot of success over the years. We've kind of, you know, made a name for ourselves by producing stallions that were a little bit obscurely bred. We had a leading sire named Montbrook. He was the leading sire in the state 4 years. Was one of the better sires in the country at a time. He was by Buckaroo. We stood Trippy, who was by In Sweep. He was a terrific stallion that ended up exporting to South Africa. We stood Cantheros, who's by Lionheart, and Gervin, who's by Tale of Akati. So there's a pattern there that, you know, we're not afraid to take a chance on a horse that, you know, is not by one of the leading sires. most of those horses had bottom side pedigree in their own right. And there's enough pedigree on the top side to give them a chance. And all of those horses were terrific race horses that had speed, but could also carry their speed. So, you know, while we can't always go for the sons of the top stallions, we can sometimes find some diamonds in the rough looking elsewhere.
Well, can't wait to see the offspring of Win 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 on the track and all of your other stallions as well. And Dave, congratulations on the March sale. Best of luck with April coming up. And thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much, Acacia. Thanks for having me.
Well, if you've been following any of the sales lately, odds are you've seen the name Resolute Bloodstock purchasing horses at a lot of these big sales. And I'm so happy to have Gavin O'Connor, general manager for Resolute, and somebody that has been very active at all of the sales over the last several months in particular. Gavin, thanks so much for taking the time. I'm excited to chat with you today.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you for having me on.
Like I said, you all have been very active with John Stewart's Resolute Bloodstock. Take us back to the beginning a little bit. How did you and John link up and become the team that you are today?
Yeah, so basically I met John about 2.5 years ago at a UK tailgate. And we got talking about horses, and John always had a keen interest, you know, but I guess maybe the opportunity just hadn't arose in previous years. So it's kind of right place at the right time, and John had set me a task to go to Keeneland September in 2022 to acquire a nice yearling filly, and I picked up a nice Vino Rosso filly called Shiloh's Mistress, and she's doing very well. She's in training with Mike McCarty. She's a half sister to a grade two winner out of St. Liam Mare, with pretty good family. So that kind of got us rolling. She's doing well. She broke her maiden at Turfway in her third start, improved first time out of Keeneland, then on to Churchill Downs, ran second, then won by 3 lengths, breaking her maiden at Turfway. And now Mike McCarty has her over in Santa Anita. So she ran a couple of weeks ago in a grade three. I think she was fourth or fifth. She ran well. Pace was quick, and you know, they had a bit of rain on the track the night before, you know, so the closing pace was fast, and it just kind of taxed on her a little bit. But she's, you know, she's a very, very good filly. And we predict that she'll have a great, you know, 3-year-old campaign this year. The whole family ran a three. So she, you know, she looks to be a great prospect to go forward with.
A lot of exciting horses coming up for sure, but also purchases of some superstar mares, horses that have been really, really successful on the racetrack. And I know that looking at breeding potential, pedigrees has been something that John's been emphasizing as well. Can you talk a little bit about that and picking up some of those high priced but super, super talented fillies that we've seen on the racetrack?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, look, John wants the best of the best, you know, buy the best, breed to the best, and try and raise the best trainers, you know, and go for graded stakes. That's kind of the standard that we're shooting for. So, you know, a lot of broodmare sire power in the pedigrees that we bought, a lot of pattern recognition, you know, based on results that have already been proven with the crosses. You know, like the likes of Pizza Bianca, she's a Fastnet Rock Breeders' Cup winning filly. She's going to go to Justify, and obviously, you know, the favorite for the Golden Slipper being Storm Boy, who we were also partners in. He's Justify out of a Fastnet Rock mare as well. So, I mean, I've been lucky enough through my time working in Australia that I had quite a bit of experience with offspring from Fastnet Rock, you know, and I got to see a lot of his, you know, his fillies and his colts and how to compare them. But I mean, most notably to me, from my experience, he really struck me as a sire who produced a very, very pretty filly. He kind of reminds me of, you know, North America's version of Uncle Mo or Quality Road, you know. So when I seen Pizza Bianca, obviously I loved her. She's all the credentials, and then to have Storm Boy come through you know, after our purchase, and obviously Just Steel as well. He's another good colt who's bred on the same cross too. So it's really improved our stock, you know, and really solidified our decision to acquire a mare like Pizza Bianca. Obviously, we've Pooka as well. You know, she speaks for herself. Queen Caroline, you know, gorgeous. Again, Blame is a stallion that produces an absolutely stunningly beautiful, you know, filly. So that female elegance, you know, comes true in the broodmare status for her. She had a beautiful flight line filly, absolute stunner. So we're very, very pleased. So that, like, you know, when these things, you know, come along for us, it really gives us the comfort in the decisions that we made, in the investment of stock that John has laid down for the foundation of Resolute Farm. So it's we're Lenny girl actually as well. She had a beautiful Not This Time colt the other night. She's a half sister to Jackie's Warrior, that we acquired for, I think she was 500,000. You know, so I mean, when you get the, you know, when the results start coming, the foals, the beautiful foals that we have, the physicals that, you know, that come out of these mares, and the level of investment that has been put in, it gives great reassurance that we've made a lot of good decisions so far. So yeah, we're in really good shape at the moment. The farm is working out really well. Our farm manager, Noel Murphy, he's an absolute Trojan. He's sun up to sun down. He's so devoted to our operation, and honestly, it's a blessing that we have Noel here, to, you know, to manage the stock and the day to day. It's really fantastic. So we're in really good shape.
Yeah, a strong team for sure that it seems has been put together. And talking about some of those exciting mares, I wanted to go back to Pooka quickly because, for those not familiar, she's the dam of Kentucky Derby winner Mage, as well as Doorknock, who is obviously on the Kentucky Derby trail, just winning the Fountain of Youth. Talk a little bit about the purchase of a mare like her, who is still has horses on the ground that could potentially go on and do big things. It seems like that was a very wise purchase, even moving forward, and what could potentially come to pass.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it was, again, right place, right time. She had Ornade, came onto our radar. John, like, one of John's like incredible traits that he has amongst his many traits is his ability to make decisions, like, is very clinical. And, you know, he can make big decisions in a moment very quickly. But there's a lot of, you know, strength behind his decisions. And, you know, to get, you know, obviously she's dam of a Kentucky Derby winner, big brown mare. She's got a great pedigree. Doorknock obviously pushed on, did, you know, great things to improve the value of the whole family. And of course, she's in foal to Good Magic as well. We don't know what she's having yet, but she's due here very soon. So I mean, her value has gone up significantly as well since we acquired her. So you know, it just seems that, like, I was just going through it, Noel, we've got 60 odd horses on the farm right now, and we've got what have we got now? We've 17 and 5, 22. We've 22 2-year-olds. So in such a short space of time, we've really kind of, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it kind of was, that Resolute bloodstock. And, you know, so we've really gone into fifth gear, and we're pushing forward. And, you know, John absolutely loves the farm, he loves the horses, he comes out here and spends some time in his own, and he just loves the animals, you know. So that passion runs deep, with John, which is beautiful to see. So we're all really enjoying it, and, you know, striving for success.
That passion, a huge part of it for anybody, as we know in this game, it's not an easy one. But of course, with some of the younger horses, and you've talked about some of the breeding plans and some of the foals on the ground, but maybe some horses that we might see a little bit quicker, active at the 2-year-old sale at OBS March that just took place, coming away with five, I believe, including the $1 Million Authentic Colt, Hork 9 and 4. And can you talk a little bit about him? Obviously, he had an outstanding work and an outstanding physical, but it seems like he was one of the standout colts for sure in the sale.
Yeah, look, I went through every single horse. I don't get as technical about things. With times and this and that and clocking and strides and blah blah blah. I feel like I can see enough when I see it, and the biggest question for me is, and I kind of continue to say this, is did the horse look good doing it? You know what I mean? And if it didn't, I don't want to know about it. So every horse that we acquired that breezed, they looked very comfortable and very good in all areas of their body. They got through their stifles, great action. Hind action was very steady, balanced. So that's kind of when I see that, it raises me to the next stage to push forward. And then obviously when I set eyes on the horses and the physical meets what I saw in the breeze and the pedigree is there, and then John's and Chelsea's pedigree system comes together, it just gives us the green light. You know what I mean? It's we push forward with great confidence. So I mean the authentic colt, I mean he just looked so in control of himself, going fast, looked really well. Stands up an incredible physical. I mean, authentic out of a smart strike mare. I mean, if he can go on and do what I think he will, I mean he's a stallion. In Kentucky, and any stallion barn would be more than happy to have him. He's so appealing to the eye that when if breeders were to walk through the door and look at a horse like that, and I mean he's only a baby, but I mean he'll put on another couple of 100 pounds, and he'll be quite the physical on top of what he already is. So I mean he's an exciting horse, and we're really looking forward to seeing what he can do for us.
Yeah, it'll be really fun to get a chance to see him on the track. And then four other fillies purchased at the 2-year-old sale as well. You touched on a bit with all of the pieces coming together and what you look for, but I thought it was interesting to point out as well that it was a wide range of prices, sales prices for these 2-year-olds and very different types of horses as well. Can you go through a little bit of what you do maybe before the sale, looking at the breezes, pedigrees, and how it all comes down to deciding on a short list?
Yeah, well, like John is John is opportunistic in all regards. So the authentic colt, the American Pharoah filly, and the Munnings filly, like they had the pedigree, sorry, they all five of them have the pedigree and the physical, and they all breezed very well. But there was two, there's a chip in the ankle of the Malibu Moon. It's an easy process, but it was an opportunistic buy. We'll take our time with her, we'll take the chip out, and we'll go forward when that time comes. But John's not afraid to give these horses as much time as they need. And the Gunrunner filly as well, she had just a minor little vet issue, but again, we'll give her the time. We got her for $200,000. But the pedigrees back up the residual. So that's where, John's viewpoint of the opportunistic, viewpoint works for us, So John's happy to, have that caliber of filly in his broodmare band, and to kind of, take the risk that maybe a lot of other people might not necessarily be willing to take, and then to get the value on the purchase price relative to the caliber of stock, so it kind of balances out for how John sees things. But there are five really good physicals, and we're really, really happy to add them to our stable.
Really nice purchases for sure. The 2-year-old sale. We talked about some of the exciting top class mares. And then also we've seen the stable active with horses of racing age, active horses on the trail, on the track already. Are you involved in that side of things as well, or more kind of focusing on the sales?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, we're all working together as a team. Communication is key, across the board, between myself and Chelsea and John and the trainers. We're all working together. We place our horses in the best of hands. So we know that our horses are being done right by. So if there is a week or 10 days or 2 weeks that passes, we know we can rest assured that everything is okay, until we recalibrate our communication. Just with so much going on as time passes, sometimes it can take a little bit of time just to, catch up on all your communication. But we've got a nice few active horses at the moment. Pounce that we bought on the di in the digital sale of Phase of Tipton. I mean, she came off a good win, going fast fractions, and then she followed up those fractions slightly faster again in the Grade Three. Here comes the bride. So Mark Cathy is he's really high on her. He's actually compared her capabilities to the likes of Teppan, which is quite promising, so she has a target at Keeneland, and then she'll go on to the Edgewood Grade Two on Oaks Day. We also acquired Sweet Rebecca. She's a full sister to Sweet Melania, and she was super impressive as well. She might be aimed towards the Edgewood as well. And John is more than excited to see both of those fillies go up against each other, and hopefully run one and two. Chad Brown is going to get her, as of the changes with our recent purchase of her. Obviously Shiloh's mistress, she's doing well. I think she might run again in a Grade Two out in Santa Anita, going a mile in the 16th. She likes to go the distance. She, even further again if we can get her out to a mile and eight. And then You Almost Had Me. She's an Oxbow filly. She's multiple stakes winner at two. She won $500,000 last year, and she's with Brad Cox. He's gearing her up for the Beaumont at Keeneland. And obviously Just a Touch as well. He's got 25 points, and we're pretty confident that we'll be able to get him placed into the Kentucky Derby this year. He'll be aimed towards the bluegrass, which he had two starts, broke his maiden on a slappy track, had a really difficult condition up an aqueduct into Gotham. But I think when he gets his track conditions on his day, he's really going to show us what he's made of. So very, very, very exciting lineup of horses. We've got some, serious 2-year-olds to come through. Full brother to Known Agenda, he's quite a precocious horse. We will probably see him around Saratoga time. We've a Gunrunner half brother to King's Barnes, that Dermot Littlefield has at the training centre here on Paris Pike in Lexington, and he really thinks very, very highly of that horse. So he could probably be a Saratoga type horse as well. So across the board, it's really exciting. It's going to be a year full of action and sport, and I'm pretty confident we'll hit a few targets with what we have.
A lot of moving pieces for sure, and you were talking about, the team at the farm and everybody that makes the whole group successful as a whole. And for a new owner that's really come into the sport in such a big way, and especially really investing kind of in the future of the stable with the farm and with the top class broodmares, what are some of the goals and some of the things for Resolute Racing and Bloodstock that we're going to see not just this year, but in the coming years?
Yeah, well, we just like the goal is really is to build out, the highest quality of stock that we can, you know, build up some premium broodmares, build out some families, you know. And I mean, the first couple of years we probably won't be trading, you know, commercially, but obviously when we get up to size and you know, we need to balance the water table, as per se, we, you know, when we build out some families, we might be able to sell some nice stock down the road. But you know, the strategy is just to, you know, reach for the stars, the best of the best, go to the best. Just we're very precocious. We're, you know, we've high standards, and you know, that's the mission, is just to raise the best possible horses that we can, you know, and try and have those good days.
It must be a very fun and exciting for you to be part of this team and to be so active in all of the big arenas of this sport, and really a lot of excitement for that future.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's John Stewart is an absolute incredible man. You know, he's extremely smart and intelligent. And I mean, I'm absolutely honored that he, you know, what he saw in me, and, you know, the trust that he's put in me and Noel and, you know, Andrew, our maintenance farm manager, and the whole team, just to build it out. He's put such confidence and trust in us to go ahead and just push forward and make it happen. So I mean, it's full credit to John and his vision and his ability to, you know, have placed or put us in place. And just the level of trust, and, you know, that's really what it's based off. We're a really tight team. We're all very close, and there's, you know, it's utmost transparency and integrity amongst the team. And, you know, we're pushing forward and reaching for the stars. So, yeah, it's a great energy. The farm is incredible. It's great land. The horses are extremely happy here. You know, all our young horses have just bounced forward incredibly since they've come over here. And yeah, it's kind of hard to explain, really, but here we are, and we're moving forward at a quick pace.
Well, there's a lot to look forward to. I'm sure I will see you all in the paddock and the winter circle in Saratoga this summer. Gavin, thanks so much for taking the time.
No problem at all, Casey. Thank you very much.
Well, that'll wrap up today. Thank you very much to Dave O'Farrell and Gavin O'Connor, and O'Farrell and O'Connor on the show today. So I guess it was meant to be. As mentioned, lots of two-year-old sales, lots of exciting stuff coming up. I'm actually leaving, as I'm recording this, I'm leaving tonight to head to Dubai with my husband, Miguel, as he will be traveling with Pandagate, who will be running in the UAE Derby in about a week and a half on Dubai World Cup night. So that's pretty exciting. So let me try to getting some content over in Dubai while I'm there. Be sure to follow along on social media. Keep an eye on the American runners and what they're doing in final preparations for Dubai World Cup night. And hopefully we'll get a little show before Dubai World Cup as well. But as I said, a lot happening. It's that crazy, exciting, busy time of year. So be sure to keep an eye out for all new upcoming episodes of In the Ring. And as always, check out all my colleagues over at In the Money Media. Check out InTheMoneyPodcast.com. Tons of great shows. They have you covered. Handicappers, great storylines, all of it available over there. So we'll see you next time on another episode of In the Ring. Thanks as always for joining me.